chapter 1. The title of my message this morning is True Faith Illustrated. True Faith Illustrated. Now this apostle, Paul, he's in prison. He's in prison when he wrote to Timothy this letter. You know, back up there in verse 8, look what he says. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. You know, he was held in a Roman prison. It was either the Mamertine or the Praetorian. But either whichever one it was, it made no difference. He was held in a Roman prison, wet, cold, guards cruel and rough. But Paul had been a prisoner for quite a while. Look what he said over here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Back to your left, just a little. Talking about, see, he says, of me, his prisoner. He didn't consider himself a prisoner of Rome. He considered himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they come in there and said, don't you know that we got you bound? He says, oh no. He said, I'm here because this is where the Lord put me. I'm Christ's prisoner. And look what he says here in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Called himself the prisoner of Christ. And that's what he's talking about. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said about this being in prison, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm ready to go. He said, they may execute me before the day's out. That wasn't it, you know. He said, but I'm the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then while he was there, he was surrounded by a great fight of afflictions. Great fight of afflictions. Oppressed with sorrow. Had troubles. He suffered within. He suffered without. And he not only was chained to a guard day and night, but his friends had forsaken him. Look what he said here in verse 15. Look what he said in verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Here I am, I ain't got a friend in this world. Nobody. He says, they've all turned away from me. Of who are our Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now look over here in chapter 4 and look what he says about how he was forsaken. He's in prison. He's being held. And look what he says. They're always surrounded and all of his friends have forsaken him. Look what he said here in verse 10 of chapter 4. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. And he went back to Thessalonica. Grecians, he went to Galatia. Titus went to Dalmatia. Then look what he said over here in verse 16, chapter 4. Talking about when he stands there and has to give an account of himself before the judge, before the Caesars. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. Nobody stood up to my defense. Nobody stood up and says, this man is held here unjustly. Nobody stood up and said, this is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody stood up and said, this is a preacher of the gospel. Why would you mistreat him? What has he done that you would treat him in such a way? But then look what he says. Being a believer, being a Christian, being one person who does not hold things against anybody with the love of Christ. He said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, that God won't hold this against them, that God won't charge them with forsaking me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I think that's literally that God had him in the, and they had him out there for lion's den, and God delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So here we come back over at our text, which is going to be here in verse 12, and I'll get there in a minute. So here he is, he's forsaken by his friends, deserted by his friends when he needed them the most. Here he is, he's deprived of his liberty, in danger of being executed daily, and he expected death every day. And yet, instead of being discouraged, you know what he said here in verse 12? He said, "For which things cause also some of these things," but he says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm in prison, been forsaken. Nobody stood with me. I'm expecting them to come down here and take me out and kill me any day." And he says, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." I'm not, and then he says, "Timothy, don't you be ashamed of me, the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." In fact, he wasn't even thinking of himself in this situation. You know what he does? He starts instructing Timothy and encouraging Timothy. He says there in verse, he said, "I know I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." And then he says, "Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words." You sound words, you sound doctrine, you sound things which you've heard of me. And you hold these things in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, "And that good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost, which keep up by the Holy Ghost, keep it which dwelleth in us." So here's this man in such a condition. And then he says, "I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day." Now, do you know anybody that envies the Caesars? You know how many? There was lots of Caesars. Julius, Caligula, Nero, Augustus, lots of Caesars. I don't know of anybody that envies a Caesar. And Nero was the one in power at this particular time. And he had executed Simon Peter. And he's the one that had Paul executed. And he's the one who had Christians set on fire and used for light in the streets in Rome. He was a crazy man. But nobody envies a Caesar. But how many times have we all envied the apostle and his love? Well, wouldn't you love to have the love that the apostle had when he said, "I can desire"? He said, "If it was possible, I would wish myself to curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." I mean, and oh my, you're talking about a man that loved people. And oh, and how about zeal? How many times have we envied his zeal and his courage? Wouldn't you love to have the courage of the apostle Paul, standing up in front of great crowds trying to kill him, and willing to stand before kings and said what needed to be said, and suffered so graciously, and gloried in his weaknesses and his inability? How many times have we envied him? But I don't know of anybody that envies a Caesar. But what was the reason of this man's courage? What was the cause of his confidence? What was the foundation of his faith when he said, "I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and I've finished my course"? What was the reason for this man having this courage? What was the cause of his confidence? What was the foundation of his faith? Well, in verse 12, it tells us. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He had made a commitment. And that's where he got his strength and his courage, his faith and his confidence. He made a commitment. And if you look into the margin where it says that word "committed" means "I trusted." I trusted. He trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted in his grace that was given him before the foundation of the world. He said, "I know whom I have believed." Now, when he talked about a commitment, where he got this confidence and this courage and this faith from, He's talking about trusting and committing things. When you commit to something, you give it over to Him and you trust Him with it. Well, this apostle came and he committed himself and all that he is into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Here's my soul. I commit my soul, my eternal soul, and everything that that means. My soul that is now. My soul that is bound for eternity. Everything that God deals about my soul, I commit it to you, Lord Jesus." And then, beloved, my soul, with all of my sins, my soul with every sin that I've ever had and ever had will do, and every sin I've committed against you, against mankind, against Christ, against the law, every soul, every sin I've committed, I commit it to you. I commit my soul to you with all of its hopes, and I commit my soul to you with all of its fears. You see, he put his soul, he put himself in trust to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like taking himself and his soul and making a deposit. And he said, "I deposit myself and my soul and all of his concerns, Lord, into your hands. I commit it to you. I give it to you." And oh my, when you do that, what's going to happen to you? Nothing but good can happen. That's why he said, "I'm in prison. I'm suffering afflictions. I'm forsaken of everybody that I know." But he says, "You know what? I'm not ashamed of that." Why are you not ashamed? "Because I know whom I have believed. And I've given everything over to him. I've given everything to him." He had taken himself. Listen to me now. He had taken himself just as he was. Just as he was. And committed himself, surrendered himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as I am. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the way you can only come at any time in your life, just as you are. You can't make yourself better. I hope we get better. I hope we get more gracious. I hope we get more loving. I hope we get more tender. I hope we get more grace. I hope we grow in faith. But all, beloved, we cannot come but just as we are at any time we come. Just as I am, Lord, here I come. I'm coming, Lord. Didn't you do it? I'm coming, Lord. Remember what you, I'm coming, Lord. How are you? Just as I am. I'm weak, I'm coming. I'm tired, I'm coming. I'm weary, I'm coming. I've got sorrow, I'm coming. I got troubles, I'm coming. I got heartache, I'm coming. I got no abilities, I'm coming. I got nothing but sins, but I'm coming. And guess what, Lord? I'm going to give everything I've got to you. I'm going to give you everything I've got. Just as I am right now, I'm giving it to you. Huh? And you know what he'll do? Paul said, "And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep it." He's able to keep it. And when the apostle committed himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, it meant three things. It meant three things. And the first thing it meant was this, that he gave up all efforts to save himself. When he committed himself to Christ, he gave up all efforts to save himself. Now you keep this here and look with me over in Philippians. Philippians, back over just about four or five blue books to your left, and look with me in Philippians 3. When the apostle committed himself to Christ, it meant three things. First thing it meant that he gave up all efforts to save himself. Now, he had tried to save himself. He had tried very, very hard to save himself. He spent his whole life trying to save himself. And look what he said here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now, when he's talking about confidence in the flesh, he's talking about in his fallen nature, in his old Adamic nature, in the nature that he had before he saved, that he said he had confidence in that flesh. If any man thinks that he hath worth, he might trust in the flesh, in his works, in his law keeping, in his circumcision, in his baptism, in his sincerity, in a righteousness that he's working out, in any deed that he's done, in his prayers, and making broad his phylacteries, and doing all these wonderful things, going to church and getting all of his buttons and wearing his crosses, and putting his silly hat on his head and wearing all this. Listen, he says, I have more to trust in than anybody I know of if he's going to trust in something he did in the flesh. He said, I don't know of anybody that could trust in the flesh more than I could. Now watch what he says. I was circumcised the eighth day. Just exactly like the law said, like God said to do. And listen, I'm of the stock of Israel. Oh man, I'm full-blooded. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Remember Benjamin? That was the son of love. That was Jacob's son of love. And when Joseph says, go back and get that young boy, Jacob said, he ain't going. I ain't letting him go. I love him too much, Joseph. Just go. I'm not going to let Benjamin go. And then when Benjamin got down there, remember he had five portions compared to the rest of them. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Oh, I can glory in the flesh. I mean, I can trust it. And then as touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I praised and stood in the street corners. I gave alms of all that I possessed. I paid all my tithes of men and eyes in coming. I sat down at the, and I learned from the very best. Now you're talking about a Pharisee. If anybody's going to heaven, me and another Pharisee's going. Nobody else is going. And then you're talking about zealous. You're talking about zealous. And man, having some zealousness. I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. Blameless. Oh my, I mean he. This fellow, he had something to trust in, but he gave up all efforts. Look what he said in verse 7. But what things were gained to me? Everything that made me something in everybody else's eyes and in my own eyes. Everything that I thought I'd gained, all of my successes, all of my abilities, all of my works, all of my self-righteousness, all of my prayers, all of my time at the temples, all of my sacrifices, my circumcision, the Hebrew of him, everything that I ever thought that was going to make me something in somebody else's eyes, and my own eyes and in the eyes of God, I counted them loss. And I count them but dung. Dung. Ain't that what he called them? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, that I might know Christ Jesus the Lord. And I've suffered the loss of all things. And listen to this. And you'll do this one of these days. If God ever saves you by His grace. If God ever saves you by His grace and you grow, you'll count everything that you've ever done till you come to a knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of His grace. You'll count everything you've ever done but dung. As rotten as it can possibly be. Huh? And all it's like that rich young ruler, you know. Paul gave up all efforts to save himself. And like that rich young ruler, he come running. He come kneeling. And the first word out of his mouth was, good master. And our Lord stopped him right then. And said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. Now you will have to admit two things. That if I'm God, you're nothing. And you're going to have to trust me to save you. But he didn't understand that. He said, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And our Lord told him. He said, I've done that. Everything you told me to do, I've done that ever since I was a little bitty boy. And he said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You're a very, very wealthy man. You're a very, very wealthy man. I'll tell you what you do. Give everything you got away. Sell everything you got and take everything you've got and go and give it to the poor. You done asked too much. I want to be saved, but I didn't want to be saved that bad. I want to be saved, but I don't want to give up everything. I want to be saved, but I want to give up my relationship with my wife, my kids. I want to be saved, but I want to give up my relationship with my granny. I want to be saved, but I don't want to give up this sin that I've got. I want to be saved, but I don't want to give up everything. Well, Paul said, I count everything that I ever was, everything I ever thought, everything I've ever made an effort at, I counted it but dung. And I'll tell you something. You come to Christ, with anything other than Him, you come to God with anything other than Christ, you just will cover yourself with dung. None of you would go down out in a cow field or cow pasture or get down in a septic system, take the lid off of it and get down in it and come up out of it and go in the presence of anybody else. You go work yourself. Well, that's if you come to God in Christ and without Christ, that's what you're doing. Just get out of a septic system and come say, well, look how clean I am. Because that's what you're like, trying to come to God without Christ. I mean, you're just like a... It's awful. God said that you're as an unclean leaf. All your righteousnesses are a filthy rag. He said there's none righteous. And that's what people don't understand. Paul said he finally understood that. He said, I tell you what. Everything I ever done was done. Done. Garbage. Compared to what Christ did for me. And I count, that's what I counted for. And nobody's going to carry their garbage around with them. Nobody's going to carry their dung around with them. Nobody's going to carry their rotten, corrupt stuff around with them. They're going to walk off and leave it if they come to Christ. I'm leaving that behind. I'm coming to Christ. And that's what you'll do. Won't you? Huh? And I'll tell you the second thing. He gave up all efforts to save himself. And he had tried. He really tried. And he found out that he could not keep the law. That's what he said. And all what was gained to me, I counted for loss for Christ. If anything's gained to me, it detracts from Christ. And let me tell you something about that. Anything that you try to bring glory to yourself in and not give Him all the glory, it's lost to Christ. If you try to make anything you say or do an attainment, and you put that in the place of Christ, Christ loses. Anything that's a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Huh? Whew. Well, what are you trying to gain? What do you want to gain? Paul said, I want to gain three things. I want to win Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to be found in Christ. But we're going to be found somewhere. We're either going to be found in Adam or in Christ. And no more, my God, no more I boast of all the duties I have done. I quit the hopes I had before to trust the merits of thy Son. The best obedience of my hands does not appear before thy throne. But faith can answer thy demands by pleading what my Lord has done. What the apostle did when he committed himself to Christ, gave up all efforts to save himself, found out he couldn't keep the law, he denied himself. He left himself for Christ. Walked off and left self and come to Christ. Huh? And then thirdly, the third thing was, he had the utmost confidence that Christ could save him. He had the utmost confidence that Christ could save him. Why did he have that confidence? Ain't that what he says? He said, I'm back over here in verse 12 of 2 Timothy 1. For I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He had the utmost confidence that Christ could save him. Do you have the utmost confidence that Christ can save you? Huh? Why did he have this confidence? First of all, because he knew the power of the gospel. He knew the power of God. The same power that raised Christ from the dead was the same power that quickened him and saved him. He knew the power of Christ. He knew the power of his resurrection. He knew the power of Christ. He met Christ on the Damascus Road, and that power of Christ put him down in the dust and made him blind. Struck him blind. And then he knew Christ could save him because of his great love for him. Look over here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 with me just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. Oh, because of his love, because of his mercy, because of his grace, because of our Lord's willingness to save. Our Lord is more willing to save you than you are to be saved. In fact, He makes you willing to live His power to be saved. And once He makes you willing, you're willing the rest of your life. You're willing the rest of your life. You're willing to be saved. In fact, you're not only willing to be saved, you want to be saved every day. Lord, save me, save me, save me, save me. Oh my. Look what he said here in verse 14. Oh, look in 12. Look in verse 12 here with me about talking about Christ's love for him. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor. I was very injurious. But listen to it. But I attained mercy. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now listen now. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And oh my, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you know what? I'm the chief. I'm the chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which are hereafter to believe on him to life everlasting. You see, he had the utmost confidence that Christ could save him. You see, he knew the Lord Jesus Christ was worth his confidence, worthy of his confidence. If he had 10,000 souls, he'd have committed of every one to Christ. And I'll tell you something, I ask you, I ask myself, and I do this. I give up I try by God's grace, give it up every day, give up myself all over again, and trust in Christ. I go to bed at night, Lord, save me. Get up during the day, Lord, save me. I give up all efforts. I give up all trust in yourself. Give up trust in yourself right now. Just give it up. What are you trusting in? What have you got to trust in? What have you got to trust in? If it's not Christ, what do you have to trust in? What are you trusting in that keeps you from trusting Christ? Some of you have been sitting here hearing the gospel over and over and over and over and over, and yet you won't trust Christ. I'm getting afraid for you. I'm getting scared for you. What's keeping you from trusting Christ? What is it about you? What are you trusting in that keeps you from giving up your trust and trusting Christ? If I was on top of the Grand Canyon and I knew Christ was there and would save me, and He told me to jump and I'll save you before you get to the bottom. And that's why Paul says, my departure today, I said, I'm going out into eternity and I'm trusting you to save me and my hope's in you when I leave this world. Because there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And I'm coming to you, Lord, and I'm going out into eternity. And if that's just like being at the top of the Grand Canyon, and the Lord says, jump, and you jump out into that great air, and there's miles down there, who's going to save you? Well, you're going to jump out into eternity one of these days. And who's going to save you? Whose arms are you going to jump into?
Whose presence are you going to end up in? Where are you going to be? Oh my. Give up trusting yourself. That's all I'm saying. And put it all in Christ. Put it all in Christ. Right now, put it all in Christ. You know, the churches for centuries has been used for sanctuaries. You know, criminals, people wanted by the law, they could go and hide in a church and stay there and escape punishment. Well, I tell you something. The church is not my sanctuary. I tell you, I run to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's my sanctuary. And when the law and justice come running after me, I run to Christ and I got behind Him. And when justice come looking for me, couldn't find me because I was behind Christ. When the law come demanding perfection, He couldn't find me. Found it in Christ. Oh, beloved, flee to the Lord. And you know why He made justice and law back off? He said, here's my wounds. Here's my wounds. Justice, you just got turned back. And it'll stop pursuing you. It'll leave you alone. And oh, that's the three reasons why when you talked about committed to Christ. He ceased trying to save himself. Found out he couldn't keep the law. And he had the utmost confidence that Christ could save him. And I tell you, he made a free, full and free surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he did that, he became the property of the Lord. He said, I'm the prisoner of Christ. I'm the bond slave of Christ. I'm an apostle by the will of Christ. I'm bought with a price. Christ purchased me with His own blood. He owns me. He paid the price for me to be set free. For me to be set free from justice and law and self-righteousness and all the hopes that I trusted in before. He paid off. He paid my sin. He paid for my shame. He paid for my guilt. He paid for my self-righteousness. He paid for my goodness. He paid for my badness. He paid my debt. And I'm His. And he became Christ's servant. And he gave up all of his badness and all of his goodness. People don't care to give up their badness. But it's not your badness that keeps you. It's your goodness that keeps you from coming to Christ. Look over. I want you to see something over in Exodus chapter 21. Just with me, just a moment. Exodus 21. Talking about being a slave, a bond slave. Paul loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Committed everything to Christ. And look with me here in Exodus 21 in verse 3. You know, when Paul was a servant, he's a prisoner of Christ. And when a man was a servant, a slave, held by a master, there's something he could do if he loved his master. And look what it said here. In verse 2, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go by himself. If he were married, then his wife should go out with him. If his master had given him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servants say plainly, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out free. I will go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. Then they'll bring him to the door, and they'll hold him up to the doorpost like this right here. They'll hold him up to the doorpost, and they'll go like this here, and they'll take him an awl, and they'll drill a hole in his ear. And every time he saw a fellow with holes in his ear, he said, I love my master. And that's why Paul says, I love my master. I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to give everything to him. I'm not going out. You going to go out? And oh, beloved, I tell you, he dared not to try to keep himself or hold anything back. He just dared not try to save himself or hold himself back. And let me tell you something, this act of faith, this commitment to Christ, must be continued. It's not an isolated act. It's not an isolated act. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep on keeping.
You see, it's not an isolated act. That's what the apostle says, to whom coming? To whom coming? And as long as we live, by God's blessed grace, we must have no other confidence than Christ and Christ alone. None other one. And let me tell you, let me wind it up with this. Why did he make this commitment? Why did he commit everything to Christ? Why did he commit his soul? Why could he commit his life? Why did he commit his everything about him to Christ? And he's sitting in prison. He's writing this in prison. He's writing this letter, sitting in prison in Rome. But why did he make this commitment? The answers are so obvious. Because he knew Christ. He knew Christ. Didn't know some things about him. He knew him. He knew him. Huh? And he says, that's why he did what he said here in verse 12. For I know whom I have believed. I know him. I know him. He knew Christ. He knew him. No theoretical knowledge. Didn't read about him in a biography. He met him. He experienced him. He walked with him. He talked with him. He was saved by him. He was taught by him. He was kept by him. He was comforted by him. Christ did everything for this man that he promised that he would do. And then not only did he know who he because he knew Christ, but look what he said. He knew that he was able to keep that which was committed unto him. He said he was able to keep that. He said, I'm persuaded of this. That what I've committed unto him, he's going to keep it. And how long is he going to keep it? Until that day. What day? That day that we go to be with Christ. That day that Christ takes me home. That day of judgment. That day of eternity. That day, everything I've committed unto him, when that day comes for me, and that day of eternity comes busting in on us, that day, everything that I've committed unto him, he'll keep it right to then. And that includes me and everything about me. And then he goes, oh my. And then he's not only that, but beloved, he believes he is able to save. Able to save to the uttermost them that came unto God by him. And he had come to God by Christ. And he believed, beloved, and was persuaded that he is able to perform what he had promised. He promised Abraham a son. Abraham said, I'm persuaded he's able to keep, he's able to perform what he promised. He said he promised me a son. Well, he gave him a son. And he believed he is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his glory and his presence. And I want to show you something in Daniel. Daniel, you know, is right after the book of Ezekiel. Little 12 chapter book back there. Daniel chapter, I want you to look with me in chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Talking about believing. Being persuaded that God is able. Do you believe God is able? There was... This man came to Christ. And he is blind. And the Lord... He wanted his sight. He says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? He asked that man, do you believe I'm able to do this? He asked the man. The man wanted something. He said, wanted a miracle, wanted his eyes. And our Lord looked, you know, said, do you believe I'm able to do it? Paul said, I believe he's able. I believe he's able. I believe he's able to save me. I believe he's able to keep me. I believe he's able to perform what he promised. I believe he's able to keep me from falling. I believe he's able. Listen to what he says now. In Daniel 3:15. Now if you be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image Nebuchadnezzar made. He made this image, but they told everybody had to bow down to it. Which I have made. Well, But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is that God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you this in this matter. We're not worried a bit about telling you. We're not careful. We're not full of care. We're not worrying. We've not got any anxiety about this. We're not full of care to tell you what we will tell you. I'm not a bit worried about it. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then look down verse 24. They throwed him in the fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said, True, O king. He answered, said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form is like the form, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. they committed themselves to God and to Christ. And let me tell you something, beloved. And he wasn't persuaded. I know I'm taking a while, and I hope I'm not wearying you. But what persuaded him? What persuaded him? How? Well, first of all, the Scriptures persuaded him. He searched the Scriptures about these things, about Christ. And he read straightway from the Scriptures and started proclaiming Christ. The Scriptures told him who Christ was. He said, I'm craving thee. He read there, I'm craving thee on my palms of my hand. I've written thee on the palms of my hand. He said, you know, he won't fail and he won't discourage. He won't quit smoking flats or break a bruised reed. And all, beloved, he was persuaded by the Scriptures. He was persuaded by his experience on the Damascus Road when Christ came to him. He was persuaded when Christ took him to jail and tore that jail all to pieces and set him free down in Philippi. He was persuaded, beloved, when he was on that ship and God told him he's going to save him on that ship. He was persuaded, beloved, when he says, I was delivered unto death, but I believe that God shall deliver me, did or will deliver me, and has delivered me. And then, beloved, he believed in Christ's faithfulness. Christ's faithfulness. He said, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he said, He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he said, and I'll tell you something else he said in Romans 8:35, I'm persuaded of this, that neither death, my death, my wife's death, my children's death of anybody close to me, or anybody's life. I don't care how good their life is. I don't care how dedicated their life is. I don't care how perfect their life may seem to be. Not a new grandchild, not a new great-grandchild, not any life, not a wife, not a son, not a daughter. Nobody's life. There's only one death and one life that I'm persuaded that won't separate free from the love of God in Christ. And that's the life of Christ and the death of Christ. The rest of them don't matter. Ain't that right? Ain't nobody going to separate us from the love of God in Christ. Paul said, I've committed. I've committed.